Ephesians 4 says that each one of us play our part, amen, to make up the body of Christ. They're all significant, every single part of the body, amen. I want you to help me this morning. I'm just going to ask y'all, I might point out a person or two or three to give me a hand with this, but I want you to think about this for a moment. For an example, let me just ask. By the way, we're glad to see Miss Kinsley doing better in church with us today. I'm so glad she's feeling better. And the Lord blessed and helped. And we give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Kaylee, tell me, what have y'all had to do to get ready for this mission? Give me some of the things that before you could go, that you had to do. Just list some of them. Give us a little check-off list. Had to raise money. That was $4,000 apiece, right? How many different shots? Five shots. How many of y'all like shots? Were they pleasant? Were they bad shots or what? Because you was afraid of the needle or because they hurt? They hurt. Had to get a passport. That cost you anything? $130. Did that include the $4,000 or is that separate? Okay. What else? You lost your first passport. How'd you lose it? And it just got misplaced. And you found it. Yeah. That's how it works sometimes. Huh? What else you had to do? You had to study a little journal. Certain type of skirts to wear while you were there. Long skirts, right? Mm-hmm. What else? A lot, can't leave that out, huh? Mm-hmm. So if you chose not to do any of those things or some of those things based on a personal preference that you didn't want to do them, would you be able to go on? Would you be able to fulfill this mission and go? Mm-hmm. Did the visiting orphans ministry require you to do certain things for them to allow you to go? I know I had to fill out some paperwork and all that for y'all. So outside, if that didn't happen, that would hinder you from going, right? David, to do some of your work for the state or whatever, is there certain things you got to do or you have to meet some certain requirements? What's something specific that to do certain jobs you got to meet certain requirements? So if you choose just not to do that, that would disqualify you. Mm-hmm. Paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. Got to do it, right? Got to do it. Mr. Norman, you. Was a superintendent, principal, and all that. Were there certain qualifications, the things you had to do to be able to teach and eventually be a superintendent? Have to. from scratch.
Had a building, had two buildings, three buildings. Probably a dozen desks, and that was it. And there you got all sorts of preparation. Just whatever you can think of, you better be able to do.
If you want to fulfill the mission, the service, the job, right? Nina, you cut hair, right? Are you licensed? What did you have to do that? Had to go to school. So outside of going to school, with Mississippi? A state board. So if you didn't pass that test, they wouldn't license you. So you had to do whatever you had to do to get those things. You see, there's a lot of things in life that we do, that we have to do. For an example, in Alabama, do y'all have to have an inspection sticker over there on your car?
No.
Mississippi, you got to have one, right? If you want to drive on the highways, you got to have an inspection sticker. And if you don't have an inspection sticker, they don't mind writing you a ticket for it, huh? You're eventually going to have to get it either way. That or it costs you a little bit more. But to drive on the highways, for an example, I know in Louisiana we didn't have to actually pay property tax on our vehicles to get our tags, but Mississippi, you got to go visit the courthouse, don't you? And it's not cheap either; it's costly. You don't have, but you don't have to pay but a dollar, because he's a hundred. You see, so the laws based on your age has a benefit for you as a veteran. Yeah, see, that qualifies him for that, but that doesn't qualify me or for you. Well, there's things in all of our lives that we have to do, and I know you follow what we're doing here, that we're willing to do so that we'll be able to do something else. Right. If she didn't meet this qualification. Right. And you see, we encourage one another to do those things. We understand that there are certain requirements. For an example, businessmen or do things that say cut trees or whatever it may be. From people like Bill or Jay or anybody, with Greg or Keith, a lot of times you got to be bonded. Some people do work without being bonded, but if something happens, what happens to you and the people? They're stuck with it, right? But there's certain things that we go through so that it will enable us to do something and be legit in it and to do all that we can to put ourselves in the right position for it. Well, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and watch what Paul encourages the church at Ephesus to do. Ephesians 6. Look in verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10. The scripture says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, just as significant as it is for Dina to get licensed and David to get prepared, or these ladies going on this mission trip, or Danielle, or whoever it may be, when the scripture says that we must put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand, that means we have to do what is required or what is told of us if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's no way whatsoever can we stand against the methods or the schemes of the enemy, of the things of God and His people, unless we put on the whole armor of God. It can be substituted. There's no other way around it. You can't get out there and expect to get licensed to do something when the state says you got to have it, but you choose not to do it and then wonder why they fine you when you don't do it. Well, you see, if we're going to follow after the Lord and we're going to stand against the enemy of God, Satan himself, and resist him, we must put on the whole armor of God, or we will not be able to stand against him and his principalities and powers. Have to. If Danielle wants them boys and children to be qualified, she's got to do what she has to do, or it won't happen. Well, this is exactly what Paul is saying. You will not stand against the methods of the enemy. He is too strong, he's too powerful, and you cannot resist him nor overcome the temptations of his unless you put on the whole armor of God. And as we read this and think on that, why is it do we often neglect that? Why do we often neglect putting on that whole armor? Or may not even be aware of that armor if he says the scriptures teach us that we have to put it all on. We can't set one aside and choose, well, I'm not going to do that when I'm going to leave it alone, or I'm not going to have this on, or I'm not going to fool with that. I'm not even going to prepare myself for battle. Well, the scriptures tells us twice. Matter of fact, let's read a little bit further into it. Verse 11, I'm going to read it again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Here's that qualifying statement again, that purpose statement. Why do we take it up? That you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand. It is of the utmost significance and importance that we follow this admonition. That if, for an example, we've been getting Lauren set up to go to school, and you that been to school, whether it be going through caring at SCUBA or going to MCC or going to the University of West Alabama or wherever it may be, there are certain steps that you have to take or they will not admit you in school. Am I wrong? You just can't show up and say, here I am, I'm going to school today. Go ahead and give me what I need and I'll be a good student. No, they have certain steps that you have to follow. And if you don't follow those, you can't be a student of that particular institution. Well, the same thing applies for you and me when it comes to our battle in this spiritual realm. If we want to be able to stand, we have to put on the armor of God. Now, to do that, let's go back to verse number 10 again and see what he says. As he's closing this letter out, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong. The tense of that word has the idea to be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strengthened in the Lord. Well, how are we to be strengthened in the Lord? Well, I think the scriptures help us in a couple areas of knowing that the Lord is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our light, and He is our salvation. And we can take the knowledge that we have of the scripture and the truth and strengthen ourselves in the Lord in understanding that He is the one who has given us authorization to do what we do. He's the one who's called us to do what we do. And I always think in my mind of two men in particular that the Lord helps them and gives them an encouraging word. Go back and look, if you would, at Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And let's see what God told Joshua. Joshua 1. look in, I'm just going to start reading in verse number 7. Start reading there. Joshua 1:7. The scriptures, well, let's just start in verse number 5. Let's do that. Y'all don't mind moving up two verses, do you? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He tells him to be strong, to be strengthened and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may be able to observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I love this verse, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, when we understand that we have been given a word or a mission from the Lord, when God authorizes me to do something, when God told Joshua, have not I commanded you, that command I've given you is where your power will be. It will be where your strength is at. Have not I sent you? Have not I have the authority to send whom I choose? And when I choose to send anyone to do anything for me, I strengthen them in that call, and that authorizes you. And when God authorizes any of His servants to do anything, that is our power. That is our might. That is our confidence. That is our strength. The fact that God's given us a word to do a thing, and He sent us, and we can be strengthened in that. We can rest in that. And we can be of good courage. We don't have to be afraid, because the God of heaven and earth has authorized you and me to do a work for Him. It's much better than the fact that the state authorizes us to drive on their highways. Amen. But if I'm all legal, Keith, and I've done everything they told me to do, and I'm out on the highway abiding by the law, I shouldn't have anything to be afraid of, right? I mean, I've been through the inspections. I have my inspection sticker, I paid for my tags, all my lights are working, and I'm not drinking, I'm staying in my lane, and I'm not going beyond the speed limit, I'm not driving too slow. I have all the rights to drive on that highway and not be afraid for one thing, because I've done exactly what the state has authorized me to do. I even got a license that says I can be a valid driver. When I'm on that job doing that work, clearing that dirt, whatever it may be, of that highway, I'm legit because I have paperwork that says the state has authorized me, or this company says I can do this work for them. I'm good to go. Or when Dina cuts hair, she can say, I've been approved by the state. I'm abiding by the state laws. I have the authority to do this because it's been granted unto me to do that. When I stand to perform a marriage or ceremony or whatever it may be, it's because the state has given me authority to do it in a civil sense, to abide under the laws, and I can do that, and I can do it with all authority. I just fill out the proper paperwork and send it in to what they tell me to do, and I have the authority to do it. Because somebody that has higher authority has authorized me to do something, and I can do it with a good conscience and with great courage. But when God sends us off to do something, oh, it supersedes what mama said or daddy said or the state said or the president said or the world government said. When God says you can go do this for Him, you can be strengthened in that, because that's going to be your might. Amen? You can go and do His work for His glory. Turn over to Judges. 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 Chapter number 6. Look what he tells Gideon. Remember, Gideon was this young fellow that felt like he was insignificant and small and had no strength whatsoever. But God comes to him and calls him a mighty man of valor, even though he wasn't acting like it, even though he really wasn't. But because God spoke life over him and God gave him a word that he can live in and cling to and strengthened him, he says, look in verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not what? Sent thee. Gideon's might, Mr. Bud, was the fact that God says he was going to be something that he had no clue that he really was. And that God was with him and was not going to forsake him. And that God had sent him. So no matter what he would have to face, even a big army, he can strengthen himself in the Lord because God sent him. Amen? So when we face life on a daily basis and we face the enemy who is stronger than us, who outnumbers us, we can be strengthened in the fact that God has sent us to do a work for him. He's authorized me to do something for his glory, to be a part of his body, to proclaim a life-saving message. He sent me. Therefore, he's authorized me. He's given me power to accomplish his purpose for his glory. So turn back to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And let's think about this again when he says, finally, my brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power, the force, the ableness, the ability of his might. He's got to be thinking in mind of taking us back to chapter 3 of Ephesians. You remember what he said in 3:20? Look at it if you don't. Chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul gives us a great boost of confidence when he says, now to him who is, he's what? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever and ever. He's able, amen? And I can be strengthened in the fact that not only has he sent me, but I can be sent in the fact that my God is able to accomplish the purpose for what he sent me to do. I have nothing to fear, amen? Nothing to fear whatsoever, minus the fact that I yield to the temptations of the enemy or I succumb to the temptations of my flesh and I fail to operate in the authority and the power that I have in Christ Jesus. Our God is able. Is there anything that he cannot do? I'm sure there's some ideas of when we talk about some theological things, but when God gives an assignment for his body, and God gives an assignment for his people, or God gives assignment to you or to me, he's able to fulfill that work through our lives. Does that mean that it won't be opposed? Does that mean we won't have to face opposition? No, he's already telling us that we're going to have an enemy that comes up against us. I just need to strengthen myself in the Lord and the power of his might. But I still, understanding that I have his authority and that he is able, Nick still has to put on the full armor of God. Or I'm not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Amen? The full armor of God. Verse 11 of chapter 6 says, put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means the mode of transportation. How many different modes of transportation are there out there right now? Let's name a few of them. How can you travel from place to place today? By car, by bus, by plane, by train, by boat. You can still ride a horse too, can't you? There's places still around. Is there any places up Macon around there where they still riding the horse and buggies? You see, you go up Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia place, there's still Amish or Mennonite folks that still travel. All they're traveling is by what? Horse and buggy. You can travel by a tractor, can't you? Or a log truck, huh, Lucas? A motorcycle. There's many different methods of traveling. This is the root of that word. So we can see the picture that to transverse land, there's many different modes that you can take. The idea, though, is that the enemy has many different modes that he uses to traverse the people of God. As many as we got today, he's got a lot more avenues or vessels he uses to go against the people of God. And I want to tell you, outside of putting on the armor of God, we're not going to be able to overcome him. Matter of fact, think about how many times you've been disappointed, frustrated, downcast in spirit. How many times has that happened to you? How many times you've been so welled up with pride, if you could have grabbed somebody by the throat, you'd have choked them. You know, that's all different modes of the enemy to get you diverted, your eyes off of Jesus and look into the circumstance you're in. He uses those things. A lot of times you feel like you have the right to defend yourself, to speak up for yourself. You know, that's just a tool of the enemy that he uses. And because we didn't see that we had to put on the full armor of God, we didn't even recognize it, and we were trapped, and he done had us schemed up, and we thought we were doing something good the whole time. We was missing the mark with God because we knew we had the authority to do what we were doing. We knew that God was able, but we didn't have the armor of God, so we defended ourselves. And when we started doing that, the enemy already had us in his trap, and we had no clue because we failed to put on the battle array. Amen. How many of you have been there before? We all have. Now, what we're going to do tonight is that we're going to get into this armor and how it applies to our daily life, and how he just illustrated this sense of that we need to be aware of that we are in a war, we are in a battle, and that we need to be prepared for this battle, and to be prepared to wrestle with the enemy. He uses that term. For an example, look in verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The word wrestle has the idea of like an MMA fighter. How many of y'all watch MMA every once in a while? When they fight and grapple on the ground and get one another down. Come on now, I know some of you watched that before. When they try to get somebody to tap out, you know what I mean by tapping them out? When you get them on the ground, you got your foot on their throat, and you got your arm on them, and they can't breathe no more, and you get them to tap out. It means hand-to-hand combat. It's wrestling. And that's the picture that the enemy wants to put us on the ground and get us to tap out and give in to him. But we got to be prepared for this battle. And he's bigger than just fighting another man or dealing with another person. He's got a whole arsenal of ordered warriors who are going to come against the people of God, and we got to be prepared for that. We don't have to fear it, because remember, we've been authorized to do what we do, and our God is able. I just got to be prepared for the battle from day to day in my life. Amen? It's a battle, and if you're not prepared for it, or you're not ready for it, you're not armed for it, we know what's going to happen. You're going to get caught in the enemy's trap, and he's going to get us. And we don't want to give him no glory, do we? All he's come to do is kill, steal, and destroy. He's come to lie and cheat and manipulate. But the Lord's come to give us life, give us life abundantly. And even in that abundant life, we can ask and ask and think and always remember he's more than able. So can he put this armor on me and prepare me for the battle? He's more than able, amen? I need to rest in that and be prepared for it. So tonight we're going to take it a little bit further and look at some of these things and how they apply in our daily walk of being ready for this attack so that we can do the work that God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we bless you. Thank you. Lord, we're willing to do what everybody else requires of us to do, but often we fail to do what you require. come today just to bow before you and ask you to help us. We don't want to lose in this fight. We don't want to lose in this battle. We want to fight from victory, not as much as for it. For you have already won victory for us at Calvary. We give you the praise and the glory, and help us rest in who we are in you, what you've called us to do, and where you're sending us to go. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.